Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, April 18th, Zimbabwe's birthday, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Mugabe says Zimbabwe has made great strides in addressing issues affecting local people despite targeted sanctions imposed by the West.
Some improvements are taking place across the line. Let me also acknowledge that the African Development Bank has been of help, tremendous help to us.
But the opposition says the president is daydreaming.
And some Zimbabweans say the future looks bleak for Zimbabweans.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe has made great strides in addressing issues affecting the majority of people, noting that some companies have created jobs in a nation independent. Analysts claim the unemployment rate is more than 85%. Official statistics have pegged the unemployment rate at slightly more than 11%. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi reports from Harare.
Officiating at celebrations to mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary today at the National Sports Stadium in Harare, President Mugabe said this achievement was despite the restrictive measures imposed by the West on him and his inner circle.
Some improvements are taking place across the line. Let me also acknowledge that the African Development Bank has been of help, tremendous help to us, and is assisting us with various projects, especially that the sanctions that have been imposed on us by the United States are having their toll. Government is also working.
Although the president said the country's economic environment was improving, the situation on the ground is on the contrary, as evidenced by an unidentified woman who was arrested when Mr. Mugabe arrived at the stadium for demanding food and her share of the missing 15 billion diamond money. The unidentified woman was quickly whisked away into a police truck, and nothing more was heard about the fate of the unidentified protester. Rising unemployment, poverty, and the missing diamond proceeds were some of the reasons why thousands of MDCT supporters took to the streets last week in protest. Mr. Mugabe said his government is working hard to ensure that all Zimbabweans had access to food as the El Nino-induced drought wreaks havoc in the countryside. The president also urged those in government and other sectors of the economy to shun corruption.
One of the greatest tributes we can pay to Zimbabwe is to shun corruption, to shun regionalism, and avoid nepotism. We should always remember that we are one people, united by the bond of independence, the independence we are celebrating today.
Despite the country's poor economic performance, Mr. Mugabe said his administration had tried its best to deal with the power outages, water provision, and road construction, although much still needs to be done.
It is pleasing to note that Air Zimbabwe and the National Railways of Zimbabwe are now steadily on their way to resuscitation.
The president said his government has also managed to resuscitate several companies that were on the verge of collapsing and opened new entities.
A reorganization of the mining sector, which includes the consolidated state ownership of the diamond mines and the strategic management of gold mining and gold products has started to show improved results. I am glad to inform you that there has been a very commendable resuscitation of companies that had closed or were on the brink of closure. In addition, there's been the formation of completely new companies within the economy during the past few years.
But the country's main labor body, the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, says close to 1,000 companies were shut down following the holding of the disputed 2013 national elections won by President Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party. Turning to the country's 36 years of self-determination, Mr. Mugabe urged Zimbabweans to continuously remember the sacrifices made by the country's freedom fighters. Thousands of people who filled the stadium to capacity were entertained by several musicians and mass displays. Some Zimbabweans also today gathered at various centers countrywide to mark 36 years of the country's attainment of independence from British colonial rule. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, in response to President Mugabe's remarks, MDCT spokesperson Obed Gutu said the president is out of touch with reality. Gutu's party and several others issued a joint statement today attacking President Mugabe's ZANU-PF party for failing to establish a democratic state and provide an environment conducive for creating millions of jobs it promised before the 2013 general elections.
That was basically meant to show that as opposition political parties in Zimbabwe, we have more that unites us than that divides us. So for the past 1 week or so, we, the various spokespersons of the parties involved, that is the 10 or so opposition political parties, we have been holding meetings, we have been networking, we have been coming together, structuring the joint opposition political parties independent statement that you have seen in the media today. So it's an exciting development, really, and it's just meant to show that, particularly from us as the MDCT, we are prepared, we are willing, we are able to work with any opposition political party, which has the sole purpose and intention of dislodging ZANU-PF from power.
Is this a harbinger of things to come? Are we likely to see a coalition going forward to 2018?
Blessing, I cannot really say this is a harbinger of things to come, but all I can say is that this is an exciting new development in the Zimbabwean body politic. You know that we have been getting a lot of flack, particularly us, the MDCT. People have been saying, you guys, you are playing the big brother. Tsvangirai wants to be seen as the big brother, but this just goes to show that Morgan Tsvangirai is a true Democrat and that he is prepared to work with any political party as long as we have the same values of democracy, of good governance, respect for the constitution, and respect for constitutionalism.
That was Obed Gutu, MDCT spokesperson, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
In a related development, Patson Zamara, the brother of abducted political activist Itai Zamara, was allegedly beaten up by police when he staged a one-man protest at the National Sports Stadium, demanding the return of his brother, Itai Zamara, whose organization wants President Mugabe to step down, saying he has ruined the nation, was abducted by unknown assailants a year ago.
Zimbabwe's independence on 18th April 1980 was preceded by the Lancaster House Agreement of December 1979. The agreement paved the way for the country's first democratic elections. Analysts and ordinary Zimbabweans say the period running up to the elections, announcement of the results and Independence Day was tense, joyous, and hopes were high for the black majority. Our reporter Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
The two liberation movements, ZANU-PF led by Robert Mugabe and Joshua Ngomo Zapu, resoundingly won the elections, with Mr. Mugabe becoming the first black prime minister in 1980. Political commentator Ibo Mandaza, who attended the Lancaster House conference, says the announcement of the victory for the liberation movements threw the country into a frenzy with wild celebrations as white Rhodesians collapsed and fainted in their homes and streets following their heavy defeat. He says amid the joy were fears that the Rhodesians could do anything to prevent the smooth transition of the black majority into power.
When the results were announced and the city went wild, buses, hooting, youths. And I think it was clear, and the British warned General Walls that if you try anything, the blood of the whites be on your hands. Because I think the population was ready for anything.
He says thousands of jubilant Zimbabweans thronged Rufaro Stadium for the independence celebrations and hoisting of the Zimbabwe flag, despite reports the venue had been mined by the Rhodesians. For retired General Mike Nyambuya, the announcement of the March 1980 election results and the run-up to Independence Day compares to no day in the country's history. At that time, retired General Nyambuya was commanding Zapasi Assembly Point, one of the largest assembly centers for the liberation fighters who had returned from Mozambique.
There was jubilation and celebration in the country. At that time, I was in Zapasi. I was commanding Zapasi Assembly Point. So we were then tasked with the task of preparing for the parade, main parade in Harare and then in other provincial centers as well. And it was announced that Prince Charles was coming to lower the Union Jack and we left the Zimbabwean flag.
He adds that people couldn't sleep as they celebrated victory after a protracted liberation war in which thousands of their loved ones perished.
It was those days up to the 18th of April were full of excitement and celebrations, as it were. And on the 17th of April, at Nagurara, because of the whole thing, so the flag was actually lowered on the 17th midnight, and the new flag was raised a few minutes after midnight. And at Nagurara, we didn't sleep.
Zaka Senator Meshack Marava says he was excited to vote in the March 1980 elections. A then young Marava, working as a coast clerk in Harare's Masasa industrial area, voted in Harare's Mavuku high-density suburb. Marava says he was very happy when Mr. Mugabe and his ZANU-PF won the elections.
I'm one of those people who actually almost touched the skies by happiness. And almost every youth tried to imitate it or tried to draw the president, Robert Mugabe. I'm one of those people who also tried to draw his portrait. We were so happy then.
He still remembers that the period between announcement of the election results and Independence Day was full of joy and happiness. But for Marawa, now a lawmaker for an opposition party, Movement for Democratic Change, formed 19 years after independence, things have changed. He says the important national day has been monopolized by ZANU-PF and it has lost its significance.
This time, independence has become a party issue. It belongs to a certain party, and the other parties are not involved. And yet, to sum it up, during the times of the first independence, other parties were not there. Everybody was one person. We all were Zimbabweans. It was not much of the party. No one knew of a party, actually. We only knew of the independence which had been fought for by the sons and daughters of Zimbabwe.
For economic analyst Masimba Manyanya, who enjoyed Jamaican reggae star Bob Marley's independence celebrations gig at Rufaro Stadium, expectations were high. He says each time he passes by Rufaro Stadium, he remembers 18 April 1980, a day he describes as the highest point of his life, but he is depressed by the current state of affairs in the country.
Today, my thinking is, yes, we are politically independent, but we are not free. Politically, certainly, we are not free, because the freedoms that we thought we had won in 1980 don't seem to materialize before us. Economically, we are enslaved.
He says Zimbabwe is an impoverished nation, worse than it was in 1980. Mandaza is equally concerned. He says it said little or nothing has been added to the independence.
Very sad compared to the, so there's no comparison between the 80s and now. 80s was a period of contagious patriotism, hard work, commitment. It was an era of non-partisanship and non-partisan nationalism, I call it. We wanted to build Zimbabwe, and to see it shattered the way it has been.
Mandaza, like many Zimbabweans, believes that another Zimbabwe will emerge from the disastrous Mugabe era. He says Zimbabwe's restoration cannot be done by the current crop of leaders, but by young people. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Join us this evening as we discuss Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary at a town hall meeting to be screened live on Facebook. We will also be on Twitter on hashtag Studio7Zimbabwe at 36 Town Hall.
Thanks very much for the overwhelming response for our Facebook and daily independence competitions. We will announce the names of the winners tomorrow.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans unhappy with the health situation in the country.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Brazil is in a political turmoil awaiting reaction from President Dilma Rousseff on the launch of the impeachment proceedings against her. Less than 4 months before the Olympic Games open in Rio de Janeiro.
Hundreds of East African migrants are believed dead after their boat capsized in the Eastern Mediterranean.
The death toll from a massive earthquake in Ecuador has risen to 350 as rescuers continue to pull bodies from flattened buildings.
U.S. Special Forces together with Kurdish Peshmerga today launched a helicopter attack against an IS commander, killing him and two of his bodyguards.
And the U.S. Supreme Court will consider the fate of as many as 4 million undocumented immigrants Monday when justice hear opening arguments in a landmark case debating the legality of President Barack Obama's executive actions on immigration.
As Zimbabwe celebrates 36 years of independence, health experts, economists, government officials, and ordinary Zimbabweans agree that the health system is in bad shape, hindering the enjoyment of the right to health as enshrined in the country's constitution. More from Patricia Mudadigwa.
Dilapidated infrastructure, lack of machinery and drugs, brain drain, inhibitive cost and strikes by medical personnel are some of the challenges bedeviling the health sector. Harare resident Notandonyon says lack of access to health care extended Zimbabwe's black majority rule. She blames the ZANU-PF government for failing to maintain even the health infrastructure left by the colonial regime.
But, at the same time, we can give credit on the manner in which Zimbabwe managed to deal with HIV, of which we are told that the prevalence rate has actually declined and less and less people are getting infected with HIV. But then the danger is that what we've been noticing is that HIV treatment is being funded by the outside world, the Western countries. And our worry is that if that aid stops coming in, then who is going to fund, because there's no money in the fiscus?
H. Tungu is a resident Delight Pambirei says it is worrying that the country's leadership is usually seeking medical attention outside Zimbabwe when the health delivery system is failing back home.
We have seen serious decline in the health system. Apparently, we inherited a very good and robust health network or health system, but because of failure to maintain these systems, we have seen this decline. Why am I saying this? You find we have situations where people, the ordinary person, cannot afford health services. We've got pregnant mothers or mothers who have given birth who end up getting detained for failure to pay for maternity fees.
A health expert, Muchaneta Mukamuri, says while there are a few positives, it is a sad reality that the health system has been compromised.
We appreciate the efforts that the government has done so far, considering that HIV hit the country at its highest in the mid-90s and early 20s by also availing medication for people and decentralizing art to the grassroots. But a lot still needs to be done, because if you visit our health institutions today, you will see that nothing has been done in terms of maintaining even the buildings themselves. There are also certain diagnostic machines, such as the gene expert machines and so forth, that continuously break down and do not receive due attention.
Economist Tapua Mashakada, who is also a member of parliament for Hatfield constituency, blames the ruling ZANU-PF for the failing health sector. Director in the HIV and AIDS and TB unit in the Ministry of Health and Child Care, Dr. Owen Mugurungi, agrees that all is not well in the health sector. Mugurungi says lack of resources is devastating the sector, adding that as long as there are no resources, the health system will continue to deteriorate. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Now we will briefly hand you over to our reporter Chiwoneso Jani for our new youth slot, Time to Change.
Hello, all my fellow young people out there. My name is Chiwoneso and I'm your host for Time to Engage. Today we have a vibrant, energetic young lady, an entrepreneur in her right, business director of 143 Communications. And she'll be talking to us about the issues young women entrepreneurs face in Zimbabwe. Hello, Geraldine. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, Chiwoneso.
All, I am so curious how a young woman like you is thriving in a turbulent Zimbabwe.
Okay, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, even when things were not okay in Zimbabwe. A mentor told me that I needed to first have the discipline to work for someone before I could work for myself.
What are the elements needed in a young woman like yourself to strive in Zimbabwe? Give me three great points.
Passion, passion, and passion.
What are the challenges young women are going through in Zimbabwe right now from your standpoint?
Despite the common standing problems that every Zimbabwean is facing to fund their business and that the business is low, the major problem that I have faced as a young, pretty woman is that so many people think that you're willing to offer yourself for a couple of $1,000. I've just told myself that I'm worth something. I'm worth more than everything, any dollar that anyone can give me. I have retained my integrity.
But what about the issue of funding, contracts, and business?
You'd find that in the national budget, women were allocated less than 1% of the overall total budget, a drop in motion in promoting gender equality. And considering the fact that women, like, they're more than 4% of the population, you'd think that more resources would be allocated to us.
It's very interesting. So what would be the way forward? What do you feel that young women like yourselves are supposed to do?
I feel that conversation is the first step. Because as long as we're not talking about it, there's no way that we're going to do anything about it. And look at yourself and say, what am I doing to make my situation better. I think that's the first point of call.
Can you tell us about the process that a young entrepreneur should do?
First, what most people don't know is that there is a facility where you can register your company for only $25. For over 5 years, I didn't know that, but I just had to go to the register of companies. I just had to go and legalize everything, go to DIMRA, NASA, and just feel informed to say that I'm now in operation.
Passionate about communications. Why?
I love talking to people. I love engaging with people. I naturally could do and channeled it to make me money.
That was the business development director, Geraldine Kasambara. Thank you for being with us. This is Chioneso Johnny, your host for Time to Engage.
Thanks very much, Yone. So tune in tomorrow for another piece on Zimbabwe's youth. Don't miss it.
And in sports news, it has been 36 years of ups and downs for Zimbabwean sport, but the positive results have been few. Our reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
Chikwata chetem in Natsimas Katichatura Mukombe with Zimbabwe Independence Trophy. Mushure Mekurova Babaki Zanibabu.
Sorry for that mix-up. We are going to get back to Michael Cariati shortly.
The international sporting success that the nation was expecting at the attainment of independence in 1980 has been nothing but a pipe dream, as in 36 years of sporting participation, Zimbabwe has remained the fall guys of the international sporting world. A lot was expected after Zimbabwe won a gold medal at the 1980 Olympic Games in Moscow, but the country failed to build on that due to a combination of factors, including the government's lack of interest in sport despite its international appeal. Critics say it is disheartening that it took 35 years for Zimbabwe to have its own sporting ministry, which even after its creation in October last year, does not have the financial muscle to bankroll national teams in international competitions. As the nation celebrates its 36 years of independence and more than 30 years of international sporting participation, it is clear that Zimbabweans have had less celebrations in sporting success compared to other African countries. Although there were notable achievements, most of them coming from the country's female athletes, these have been few. There is that memorable day in 1980 when the Golden Hockey Girls landed at the Harare International Airport with that gold medal that should have laid down the foundation for future international successes, but unfortunately did not. The goalkeeper of the team, Sarah Inglis, says the gold medal at the 1980 Olympic Games was the most memorable occasion in her life, especially that coming in the days the country was celebrating its independence.
Unbelievable to think you never mind won a game, you won a gold medal, never mind for, you know, just your country. This was Zimbabwe, this was new, this was everything.
Veteran sports administrator Albert Namwebonde reflects that everyone, Asians, blacks, colors and whites, were united as they celebrated what is probably one of the most remembered sporting successes in Zimbabwean history.
We will give you part two of this report tomorrow here on Studio 7. Don't miss it.
Now stay tuned for Studio 7 live talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about Zimbabwe's Independence Day. If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-619-2077. The number again, 001-202-619-2077.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
President Mugabe says Zimbabwe has made great strides in addressing issues affecting local people despite targeted sanctions imposed by the West.
But the opposition says the president is daydreaming.
And some Zimbabweans say the future looks bleak for Zimbabweans.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night, and happy independence.